Thank you, Rob. And again, take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter 3. And Romans 3 doesn't paint a very good picture of us, does it? But it is accurate. It's not very appealing. Not anything beautiful, certainly, but it is certainly very accurate. The question is asked in verse 9, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Jews and Gentiles, that's everybody, okay? That pretty much, that encompasses all of mankind. And so, are we better than they? No, no. Is anyone better than anybody? No, no, no. And then we get the reason why. As it is written, there is none righteous. None. No, not one. I mean, very emphatic there. There is none righteous. No, not one. No man. None. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Okay, that would include Jews. That would include Gentiles. None. Okay, you want to say, well, what about that group? And what, no, there's, we're, you know, that's what's clear here. Are we better than that? No, we're not better than anybody. All right. Verse 12 says, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. And there's our word again. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And then he gets real descriptive here, verses 13 through 18. And there's no, this is God's word, and God is describing us to a T. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. I mean, we don't like that picture, but that's very accurate. I mean, have you ever had somebody take a picture of you and you say, oh, that's a terrible picture. Okay. I mean, it's kind of like getting in front of the mirror and saying, oh, that's a terrible mirror. But I mean, that's what it is, all right? And God is always accurate in what he says all the time. And so he says this in verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. All the world would be everyone. Okay, that's the law. We are guilty of breaking the law, everybody. Verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. So by the deeds of the law, if I'm going to keep the law, if it is my desire, just the way I'm going to get to heaven is by doing good things, good works, then the Bible says, if that is my choice, the deeds of the law, there will be no flesh justified in his sight. Why? Because all flesh fails. If today you think somehow you're going to get to heaven because you go to church, or you think you're going to get to heaven because you do good things, or you think you're going to get to heaven because you help people, or whatever, however you want to look at that, then you are trying to get to heaven by the law. And the Bible says there is no way. It will not happen. No flesh is justified by the law. Cannot take place because we break the law. And he says this, verse 21, but now. And he talks about the righteousness of God. And we'll get to that in a few minutes. But I call your attention to verse 22 and the summation of this. Of course, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the summation is this in verse 22, as we think of the Jews and the Gentiles and is one better than the other? And again, that encompasses all of mankind. And he says this in verse 22, there is no difference. There is no difference. No difference. I don't care. You could plug in the words, instead of Jew and Gentile, you could put in there Baptist and Pentecostal in this subject. You could put in there Methodist and Catholic. You could put in there Muslim and Presbyterian. It doesn't matter what you put in. You can put white or black. You can put anything in there. It doesn't matter what you put in there. It does not matter as long as you include everybody. Understand, no difference. No difference. Okay, you cannot, I don't care who you are. Doesn't matter who you are. You cannot get to heaven by good works. There is no difference between us. I don't care whose works are right. It doesn't matter. I'm doing everything exactly like I'm supposed to do. But you can't do everything exactly how you're supposed to do. Amen. It's not possible. No flesh can do that. Okay, we're all guilty. We have the accurate picture of us. And among us, there is no difference. Father, I pray you bless the preaching this morning. Please speak to our hearts. Give us what we need from your word. If there's someone here today who's not saved, Father, I pray that you would work in their heart. You would convict them, and they'd get that settled today, that no person would leave here without the assurance that heaven is their home when they die. Please help us without that. And help us, Lord, as Christians, to appreciate the grace that Rob just sang about, and how, Lord, without that wonderful, precious mercy and grace of God, we would have no salvation. We'd have no hope. We'd be most miserable. Please help us now. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This might be the simplest message you'll ever hear. There's really just two points. There are several sub-points, but really just two points. And the message is two words, no difference. But just two points. The first point is there are some things where there is a difference. Now, in this topic, what he's talking about here as far as how to get to heaven, as far as who's guilty and who's not guilty, as far as justification before God, there is no difference in us. But there are some areas, and we do recognize there are some areas where there are differences between us. And they're very obvious, most of them. One would be our circumstances at birth, which, by the way, you didn't have anything to do with. None of us did. And I've made reference to this. It's kind of been on my heart and on my mind as we deal with people who maybe think they're somehow better than other people. As far as our circumstances at birth, we had no choice in who our parents were. We had no choice in where they came from. We had no choice in their income level. We had, as far as my parents, as far as your parents, you had no choice in name. You had no choice in your, as a little baby in the womb, you didn't put in an order for the name that you got. You didn't put in an order for the last name that you got. You didn't put in an order of where you're from. You didn't put in an order as to where you would grow up, what schools you would go to, where you would live, what kind of occupation your parents would have, all of that. You had no choice in that. You had no choice in how tall you would be. You had no choice in those things. The Bible says, and it's very clear, there are circumstances where we are different. And Jacob was smooth, the Bible says. Esau was hairy. They're twins. Now, Jacob might have said in the womb, he might have reached over and felt his hairy brother and said, "Hey, I want to have all that hair," but you don't get that choice. Esau might have said, "Oh, I'm real hairy. I don't necessarily like all this hair, and I want to be like, we're different. We're different. Some guys are bald. Notice where I pointed. Some guys aren't. But again, that is an area where we're different. Some folks are heavy. Some folks are not. Some folks are tall. Some folks are short. Some folks, again, they have hair. Some folks have brown hair. Some have blonde hair. Some have gray hair. Some have gray hair, but it's not gray. But we are different in that. All right, and some folks are. It's funny how we say white and black, and in reality, nobody is actually white. Nobody's actually black. But we use that terminology. We have different skin colors. White people have different skin colors than white people. Everybody, we're all different. We are so different in that. Some people, they're white and they want to be dark and they go lay out in the sun and they try to darken themselves. Or they get in a microwave of a, what I'm talking about, and try to darken themselves. And I call them microwaves, a coffin with lights. But we're different. I thank God that, for example, I thank God my wife and I are different. I am so glad. Yeah, I'm glad we're different. I sometimes the chin hair starts to get a little bit rough right there toward the end of the day. And you know, I don't want to kiss whiskers. Amen. I'm glad she doesn't shave her face. I'm so glad. Now, ladies, if you do, I'm sorry. We're just different. And that was maybe not a good illustration. But a couple of guys are saying, yeah, look at her. But no. But I'm glad she doesn't look like. I'm glad we're different. I'm glad that we are different. We're just, that is an area where we're different. And praise the Lord, that we'd get bored if everybody looked the same. I really think we would. And it's amazing how different we are. It's amazing when you look around and you see people from different countries and different places and everybody just looks different. It's amazing how, and of course, you look at people and you immediately know God has a sense of humor. Amen. And so, again, there is a difference with our circumstances. By the way, emotionally, we're different. We all, because of where we grow up and just our innards and everything, we are different. Male and female are different emotionally. I tell guys, don't try to understand her. You can't. Honestly, it's not. It's because we're different. We cannot possibly. And you know, when a wife is emotionally involved in something, you know, I tell guys, you might be better off just to leave. You know, just go outside, do something else, and it'll be all right. Don't bury yourself because you can. You know, when they ask things like, "Do I look better in this or better in this?" You're better to just leave. You're better to say, "Honey, you look good all the time, anytime." You know, and then wink at her and walk away. But I'm just saying, we're different. We don't think the same. And again, praise God that we don't think the same way. I'm glad my wife is the way she is. And I hope she's glad I'm the way I am. But we're different. We're different. We're different as far as our circumstances at birth. We're different in our mental abilities. Some folks are just very, very smart. And you know, you remember going to school and it typically was the girl with the real thick glasses. And maybe she had pigtails back in those days. And she just always knew the answer. Teacher asked a question. She knew the answer. I mean, you're sitting there trying to figure out what the question even means. And she knows the answer all the time. And typically, there was that one, and it's not always a girl, but usually it's a girl. And typically, you're struggling, and she, the teacher calls on you, "All right, Poindexter, what's the answer?" And you don't have a clue, and she goes, and then she gives the answer, and she looks at you like, "You're stupid." You know, there's always people like that, and there are folks that are like that. We see our SAT tests, of course, and then we do like a IQ test as well. We call it Lotus Innan, or it's called that. We don't call it that. We call it a pain. But anyway, just to kind of get an idea of ability, and it gauges ability, which is kind of an interesting thing. And you know, some students, they have these real high scores, and other students have these low scores. And again, it's just what can they do. Some can do things better than other folks, but we have a difference as far as our mental ability. We have a difference as far as how we were brought up. You know, some people grow up in a rich home, and others grow up in not so rich or maybe a poor home. Some people grow up in a religious lifestyle, others totally non-religious. I mean, I grew up, didn't go to church at all. Growing up as a child, every now and then we might show up at Christmas or something like that. But some, that's all you've known. You've been in church all your life. And so that is different. Some people grew up in a very happy home. Some grew up in a not so happy home. And there is a difference there. There is a difference in, how if your parents were very strict or if they let you do pretty much whatever you wanted to do. And so our manner of upbringing is different. Languages are different. Languages, the customs and different things like that. Even right here in America, we went down to Shreveport, Louisiana, and of course I went to school in Pensacola, so we were used to, Pensacola really is South Alabama, and everything's, "Hi y'all, how y'all doing?" And I mean, it's very, very southern, but so you go to Louisiana and you have all of that, but they even have a different language. And we were really struggling with they call a soft drink, they call it Coke. Everything's Coke down south. You know, it's just everything's Coke. And I remember the first time I went to a McDonald's or something like that, and they said, "What do you want?" And I said, "I'd like a Coke." And they said, "What kind?" "What do you mean, what kind?" "Well, we have root beer, Sprite." What do you mean?" I said, "I want Coke." "Well, we have Pepsi, Mountain Dew, Sprite." "And no, a Coke." "Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What kind do you want?" I mean, honestly, and they were serious about that. You know, "Yeah, I need a Coke." "What kind?" "Root beer." "Okay." Anyway, and we didn't understand. We left Bern and Amish country in Indiana where you know, we lived out in the country and we followed Amish buggies everywhere. And I mean, the horse and buggy was just part of our life, and horse exhaust was part of our street. And I mean, we were very used to that. And I'll never forget down in Louisiana when one of the ladies said, she said something about going to the store and she had to get a buggy. Only she didn't call it a buggy, she called it a boogie. And I said, "You had to get a what?" She said, a boogie. I said, "What are you talking about, a boogie?" She said, "You know, one of those things you put the food in." I said, "You mean a shopping cart?" "No, it's a boogie." Boogie. Anyway. And all these things, you know, and fixing. Fixing was one of the most amazing. We're fixing to do this and we're fixing to do that. You know, how many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, and fixing, for a country southerner, it was fitting to. You know, you're supposed to be saying fixing to, but instead it's fitting to. Yeah, I'm fitting to do this and I'm fitting to do that. And first time one of my deacons, he said to me, "Well, the wife and I will carry you to the airport." I thought, you and your wife together couldn't carry me. There is no way in this world. And of course, you have Brother Hollins pawking the caw, and in the yard, and you have you know, and they get around us, and they think, "Why do you talk the way you do?" And everybody, you know, there is a huge difference even in America with our customs and our languages and all of those kinds of things, and of course, there is, though we're all sinners, there is a degree of sinfulness where there's a difference. I mean, let's be honest. You know, would you rather invite, if you had to bring somebody to your home, do you bring the murderer or do you bring the person who stole something? You know, you bring the guy that stole something and watch him, right? But again, you know, there's some murder, not murder, there's no murder we're comfortable with. There's some sins we're a little more comfortable around than we are other sins and degree of sinfulness. Certainly, there's no question about that. And the Bible certainly talks about that. And so there are some things where there is a difference. We are different people. But here's the thing, and that's number two. See, I'm on point two already. You can't hardly believe it. Some points there's no difference, and the Bible is so clear about that. And as you look at the Jews and the Gentiles, you know, wow, their customs are so different. Their beliefs are so different. Their actions, their activities, their holidays, their language, everything. I mean, it's just so different. They do things so different, and yet God is so clear in Romans 3 that there is one area, and that's what I'm going to talk about, that there is absolutely no difference in these people. They may look different, they may talk different, they may act different, but there's an area there is absolutely no difference. And these are those areas. Number one, all are mortal. All are mortal. It doesn't matter who you are. Hebrews 9, verse 27. Let's go back there. Hebrews 9, 27. And you know the verse and you've heard it. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. But I want you to see it again and remind you of this. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, all humans are mortal." We die. Our bodies die. There is no difference. Do you understand? Unless Jesus comes, we die. We die. Our bodies will die. Now, you say you're trying to discourage me. No, I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to help you understand. There is no difference. Everybody dies. Everybody dies. Everybody experiences death. They experience death in their family. I was pretty old before I ever went to a funeral. I remember my great-grandpa dying, but I'm not sure I went to the funeral. I don't remember a lot about that. I just remember a little bit about that. And then the next time somebody close to me, and even somebody where I went to the funeral, I was pretty old. And but some children, they're very young, and they go to a funeral, and they ask questions and all of that. And the truth of the matter is, we need to understand, we will die. Bodies die. I mean, as soon as you're born, your body starts to die. And I know hey, boy, we're going to be so happy about this message. No, listen. As human beings, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew. It doesn't matter if you're a Gentile. Your body will cease to function someday unless Jesus comes. You will die. Somebody said this, there's two things you have to do, pay taxes and die. And the truth of the matter is, I have a cure for taxes. Don't make any money. But there you go. We have a volunteer. And but there is no cure for death. I mean, doctors are working on it. Can you imagine if we didn't die? Would the earth be a mess or not? I'll talk more about that tonight. But the truth is, boy, what a mess. Huh? And but the only thing that you don't know is how. Yeah, and that's what bothers all of us, honestly. Just how am I going to die? I'm nervous. I just know I'm going to drown. I have people say that all. I just know someday I'm going to drown in an ocean. Solution, stay away. I mean, just don't go near. Oh, I just know a plane. I just know the plane's going to crash. And got a solution. Don't fly. Truth of the matter is, you're going to die. We all die. There is no difference if you're a Jew, if you're a Gentile, if you're religious, if you're not religious. Everybody dies. All are mortal. And that brings me to number two. All have sinned. Everybody. We know that. You know, here's something I know. I know this. If I never met Tim Cook, I know two things for sure about him. I know he's going to die someday, and I know he's a sinner. No question about it. Everybody you meet, it doesn't matter where, doesn't matter what country you go to. Brother Korea is soul winning at the Olympics, and you know, it doesn't matter. There's people from all over the world there. And he's going to run into people that they speak a totally different language. They dress different. Their customs are different. All of that is different. And yet he knows something about them immediately. He knows they're going to die someday. And he knows that they're a sinner. The Bible is very clear about that. Back in verse 10, it says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Well, I do good works. No, you don't. No, you don't. You're not righteous. You're not righteous. God said so. Well, yeah, but I'm a pretty good person. No, you're not. No, you're not. If you sin in one point, you're guilty of all. But I never murdered anybody. God says if you sin in one point, you're guilty of all. You're lumped into the same group. There is none righteous. You're here today and you say, but I'm a religious person. But there's none righteous. Religion can't save you. You say, yeah, but I volunteer and I help out and I do a lot of good. Yes, and you probably do all those things. But the Bible says there is none righteous. You can't get to heaven on your righteousness because our righteousnesses, the Bible says, are as filthy rags. Verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And it doesn't matter how short you come short. You could be short by a foot or you could be short by 100 feet, and short is still short. And that's why God says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And short is always short. Sometimes people will say, well, I've never sinned. And verse 20 says, "Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." All you have to do is take the law, honestly, and you just start out and you've sinned. Okay, compare yourself to somebody else, you look pretty squeaky clean. But take the law and hold that law up. I'm sorry. We all have sinned and come short. Have you ever had anybody say to you, "Well, I keep the Ten Commandments." Really, what are they? If you don't know them, you can't keep them. It's not possible. I mean, you certainly can't say that you keep them if you don't know them. But see, the law, by the law is the knowledge of sin. By the way, the Ten Commandments are just part of the law. there's a whole lot of commandments. And we are all guilty, okay? No question about that. You know, the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. X, you just failed, right? Has there ever been a time you had another god before him? Anyway, we fail. And there's no difference. There's nobody, you know? Somebody can stand up and have a badge that says, I am a good person. And you know, that's a wonderful thing, and hallelujah, and you can see the halo glowing around their head and everything. But the fact of the matter is, you know this for a fact because you know your Bible. No, you're not righteous because there's none righteous. So we all die, and we all have sinned. You know, honestly, you have a lot right there. You have almost enough to go tell somebody how to be saved. Honestly. And if people are really honest with themselves, they would have to admit they've sinned. If they were honest. James 2:10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. So you keep all the law. I did so well, and you fail one time. God says you're guilty. Amen. And so we're all mortal. We're going to die. Number two, we're all sinners. And that brings us to the third thing here, and that is we're all under condemnation. Everybody. Nobody's not, okay, till they get saved. All are under condemnation. John 3, verse 18, look at it. John chapter 3, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So very, very clear there that every man, Jew, Gentile, Baptist, Methodist, atheist, doesn't matter who they are. Does not matter what their name, doesn't matter what their background, doesn't matter what their customs are, doesn't matter what country they come from, what language they speak, what color their skin is, we're all under condemnation. He is condemned already. Who's that? He that believeth not. He that believeth not. He is condemned already. I mean, first time he broke the law, condemned. Somebody says, well, you know, I think it takes a lot of sins for somebody to go to hell. You don't know your Bible, because Eve and Adam, yeah, it was one piece of fruit. Just one. Now, the fruit, that had nothing to do with it. They disobeyed God once. That's what sin is. It's disobedience. It's missing the mark of perfection. Okay? And just that one. And what happened? Death. Death. And the Bible says death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. It's appointed unto man once to die, after that judgment. It's appointed unto all of us to die, but it's also appointed judgment. And everybody is under condemnation. You're here today, I'm not so bad. I've never gone to jail. I've never gone to prison. I've not done anything that bad. But the Bible says that you're a sinner, and the Bible says that because of that sin, you are under condemnation. Amen. It was messages like in John 3, it was passages like that that God used to speak to my heart, because I didn't think I was so bad. But when I find out that God says, I am condemned already. As a teenager? Yeah. Condemned. That means I've been condemned already. Yeah. I've been condemned already. Wow, something's got to happen, doesn't it? And you know what? There's no difference. You might have grown up in this church. You might have been back there in the nursery when you were a little baby. You were in 2 and 3 year old class. You went into the primary class, into the junior class. You might have been in junior high here, in high school, and you might have gone to our Christian school. You grew up here. And the truth of the matter is, no matter what that, you and a person out here that has cursed God from the time they were a young teenager, you and them are exactly the same. And you are under the same condemnation without Jesus Christ. Same condemnation. Somebody said, well, you know, there's degrees of punishment in hell. I don't care. I don't want to be in hell. Amen. So in other words, you're hoping to get a little better spot in the lake of fire? You're hoping that maybe, you know, because you weren't so bad, that your hell experience would be a little bit cooler? When the rich man begged, pleaded for one drop of water, just one drop, that he never got and he never will get. And you somehow think that because you're not as bad, your hell will be a little bit better? No. We're all under condemnation. There's no difference. No difference. Well, I was religious and I went to hell. And you think in hell you'll have a religious service that's going to somehow help you? Yeah, but I took communion. Communion can't save you. Yeah, but I was baptized. Baptism can't save you. When you're condemned, you're condemned. And there's only one thing that can be done is you got to get rid of the sin. Amen. You got to get rid of whatever it was that condemns you. There's no difference. No difference. We all die. No difference. We're all sinners. No difference. We're all under condemnation. No difference. Number four, we're all loved by God. That absolutely amazes me. As Rob was singing, I was thinking, what grace is this that brought my Savior down? What grace? We can't even talk about it. Amazing grace, the songwriter wrote. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. You understand, most of the world's blind because they somehow think that they're not included. Oh, I'm a Jew. Oh, I'm a Gentile. God says there is no difference. Everybody's loved by God. I love that. God made you. Everybody's loved by God. We preachers, we have a ball going over and preaching to the shepherds. We do. Everybody I talk to, it's like, I got me a shepherd message. And they're always such good messages, but they're it's so exciting to go over to the shepherds. And you know, those who, I'm not saying the world doesn't necessarily love, I'm saying the world just kind of wants somebody else to deal with them. But God Almighty loves every one of them. Amen. God Almighty sent His Son to die for everyone. The prison ministry, you know, nobody wants to deal with them. You know, oh yeah, they're in prison, they're in jail, leave them. Good night, lock them up, throw away the key. But thank God, there's a God in heaven that loves them. And no preacher has any problem ever standing before a group of prisoners in a jail, no matter what they've done, and standing before them and preaching the wonderful, precious truth that God loves you. We can say that to anybody and everybody. We can say it to the Muslim that curses God's name. We can say it to the religious person who puts on a show. Doesn't matter, because everybody's loved by God. You understand, the homosexuals are loved by God. He loves them. I'll be honest with you, you know, people that are truly preaching the truth and preaching the gospel and have the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart, they understand God loves a sinner. Now, I'm going to keep calling sin, sin, but I know a God that loves sinners. And I don't care what they've done. There's so many, that want to point to, hey, you did this and you did that and he did that. Listen to me. God loves sinners. And He loves everyone. You a Jew? He loves you. You a Gentile? He loves you. There's no difference. There's no difference. And He didn't love anybody anymore. He gave the very best to everyone. Amen. He gave the very best to me as a teenager. He gave the very best to you when you got saved. He gave the very, very best. All of us are loved by Him, and He loves us equally. Whoever you are, God is not a respecter of persons. That amazes me. Because we are. We can be a real pain. But God's not. You understand? That doctor that performs abortions, God loves that doctor. That's a sin that I can't understand. I can't even believe it's legal. I can't believe it. But I'm telling you, God loves those people. And we better understand that is all are loved by God. Anybody can get saved. You ever had trouble with somebody getting saved? Yeah, I think of Carol Hawkins. He could have, but he didn't. Hey, listen, folks. All are loved by God. There is no difference. And then the fifth thing here, all are provided for in Jesus Christ. Yeah, 1 John 2, verse 2, look at it. No difference in the provision. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. And he, talking about Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He is the satisfaction. He is the price paid. He is the one sacrifice. Everything is provided for in Jesus Christ. My salvation is provided for in Christ. And it's provided to everyone. What's that mean? That means I got saved the same way that somebody who was a Jehovah's Witness can get saved. I got saved the same way that a homosexual can get saved. I got saved the same way that a murderer can get saved. I got saved. There's no difference. No difference. There's no difference at the altar when people are praying. And here's a rich person getting saved, and here's a poor person. They all have to get saved the same way. There's no difference. All are provided for in Jesus Christ. Romans 5, 6, Christ died for the ungodly. 1 John 2, 2, died for the whole world. And you know what, my friend? He died for you. Yeah, there's no difference. Yeah, but I grew up in church. You need the provision that was provided in Jesus Christ. You need to call upon Him, trust Him as your Savior. You can be saved. Oh no, I've had people say to me, oh no, I'm too bad. No, I was too bad, but He saved me. There's no difference between us. You ever in soul winning tell somebody there's no difference between us? I've had people look, oh no, you don't understand, preacher, especially in jails, prisons. You don't know what I've done. Doesn't matter what you've done. I know what I did. And we're all the same. Jesus died for you, and He died for me. All are provided for in Jesus Christ. Praise God. There's no difference. Oh, but I'm a Gentile. Oh, but I'm a Jew. Does not matter. There is no difference, God said. God said, you must be born again, no matter who you are. Well, yeah, but I grew up as a Mormon. You must be born again. Yeah, but I've been involved in British Israelism. You must be born again. It's all the same. Oh, but I'm a staunch Catholic, and you know what? You must be born again. Yeah, but I was a Baptist all my life, and you must be born again. There is no difference. All are provided for in Christ, and then the next thing is all are invited. Not just some, everybody. Isn't that something? It's not exclusive. It's the whole world. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's everybody, believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever. All are invited. Whoever you are. Put your name there. You're invited. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever. That's anybody. You know, someone that soul wins a lot. I mean, you've done this many times. Put your name right there. I'll take my Bible. I'll say, see where it says whosoever? Put your name there. I'll have them repeat it. For in their name shall call upon the name of the Lord. They shall be saved. What's that tell you? I can be saved. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter if you're a Jew, a Gentile. Doesn't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't. All that matters is this. You're invited. Amen. You sit here today and you say, well, I've always gone to church. I've been involved in church before, and I've always thought I was pretty religious. My question to you is this: if you died right now, where would you spend eternity? Because the truth is, you're going to die someday. And the truth is, you are a sinner. And because of that sin, you are under condemnation. And because of that condemnation, my Bible says God loved you and did something about it. And He still loves you. And He sent His Son to provide a way for you to be saved. And you're invited. Come. Come. If you're not saved today, come to Jesus. If you're not saved today, whoever you are, doesn't matter. Because there's no difference. I was saved kneeling beside my bed at about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Some of you were saved right here at this altar. Some were saved at a teen meeting, teen conference. Some were saved in our school chapel. Some were saved in your home. Somebody came and visited you. Some were saved on a bus route. Doesn't matter. Everybody's invited to the one who can save. And then the next thing is all are saved who call on Him. No difference. Everybody is saved who calls on Jesus. He that believeth on the Son hath eternal life, everlasting life. All are saved who call on Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everybody is saved who calls upon Him. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I cannot think of a better deal. You see, I think, you know, God's got to look me over and figure out if I'm worth saving. He already did that. He didn't have to look anything over. He already knows. He already knows that you need salvation if you've never been saved. All are saved who call on Him. By the way, Christian, let me just say this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you do that? Did you do that? Well, yeah, I prayed. I called on Jesus, but I turned around and did something wrong. What a miserable way to live if you think somehow you can lose your salvation. Amen. What a miserable way. In fact, I'm working on a series I'm going to do on how you can't lose your salvation. That's a miserable existence. For whosoever shall call. I asked, led a teen fellow to the Lord at the fair, and first thing, and it's always like this, first thing I said is, if you died right now, right after he prayed and trusted Christ, I said, now if you died right now, where would you go, heaven or hell? And he looked up and he said, heaven? I said, really? How do you know? Well, you know, it's like he thought I was challenging him. And he said, well, I did what God said to do. I said, there's your answer.
Amen. That's right.
You cannot do more than what God said to do. And you don't have to do more than what God said to do. And when you do what God said to do, He does what He said He would do. What's that? Gives you eternal life. And that's eternal. Or it wouldn't be called that. And so there's no difference. That's how a Jew gets saved. That's how a Gentile gets saved. That's how we all get saved. All are saved who call on Him. He doesn't say to somebody, oh, I don't like you. He already said, I love you. He doesn't say to somebody, oh, well, you're not going to keep it because I know that you're wicked. No, he doesn't do that. We somehow think salvation is like catechism classes. It isn't like that. It is metamorphosis. It is you become a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It is something God does. It is something you and I don't do. It is not something we're studied up for. It is something God does. The moment that you get saved, you are born again, just like you're born the first time, you're born the second time, and once you're born, you can't be unborn. Amen. That's for everybody, and it's good stuff. Hallelujah. It's good stuff. And of course, all are lost who don't do it. There is no difference. You mean if somebody was a deacon in a Baptist church and they didn't get saved and they just kind of went along all that time and never trusted Christ as Savior, and for years they served in church and maybe taught a Sunday school class, maybe drove a bus, did all these. Are you telling me, preacher, that if they didn't get saved, that they'd go to hell? Right along with a murderer. That's very clear in the scripture. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is your name written there? On the page, white and fair? Is your name written there? You see, it's not a matter of what name is on the church membership roll. They won't look at our church membership roll to find out who goes to heaven. It has nothing to do with it. We have a list of charter members out there, and it's etched on wood there. And praise the Lord for that. And praise the Lord for the charter members. And praise the Lord for 70 years of Berean Baptist Church. But I'm just saying this. It doesn't matter who their names, that won't be checked. They won't take the plaque there, and Clark's name is on there, I believe, and he was pretty young back then, and he can't take that plaque. And say, well, look right here. Here's my name. No, your name's got to be written in the book. That's where it counts. You say, well, I went through classes when I was little, and I did that, and I remember my parents showed me a little certificate, said that I had water put on my forehead, and they have pictures of me. I was all dressed up real nice, and they sprinkled water on my head, and everything was, and I just thought everything. Now listen to me. All are lost who don't trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. There is no difference. And you could be a real nice person. You could do a lot of good things for a lot of people. But honestly, there's no difference between you and a thief, a liar, a murderer. There's no difference. No difference. You must be born again. And I close with the difference. The difference, the one difference that makes the difference. And that is what it says here in verse 22 and verse 23. I'll start at verse 21. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. You see, the righteousness without the law. With the law, we're all guilty. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Unto all and upon all them that believe. What's the difference? Jesus. Amen. He is the difference. He is the only difference that matters. Jesus. Everybody deserves hell. We're all sinners. The difference? Jesus. Why? Because he paid the price for me. He is the difference. And by the way, the difference in a rejoicing Christian and a grumpy Christian is Jesus. The difference in a Christian who has answered prayer and a Christian who doesn't pray is Jesus. Amen. It's always going to be, I'm telling you, it's always about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he can make a difference in your life. If you're here today without him, you've never been saved, I beg you to get saved today. If as a Christian you somehow think, okay, I'm saved now, and you somehow think, you know, your life can go on without Jesus, you're going to miss everything that he has for you as a Christian, because he's the difference in everything. You know, oh, I'm just having a bad day. Well, Jesus can be the difference, because with Jesus, a bad day is a good day. Well, it may not erase everything, but I'm telling you, it makes all the difference in the world. He is everything. To us. No difference between the Jew and the Gentile. No difference in the fact that we die. We're sinners. We deserve condemnation. No difference that we're loved by God. No difference that he made a way for us to be saved. There's no difference in that way. It's all the same. Neither is there salvation in any other. Jesus said, you must be born again. He said, I am the way, and it's provided for, and all are invited. Come unto me. And if you do, you'll be saved. And if you don't, you'll be lost. And there will be no difference. Do you understand in hell there's religious folks? In hell there's people that were church members. In hell there's people that served in helping societies and groups and organizations. They did all kinds of good things. Do you understand in heaven there are people that murdered? I believe David's there. I believe Moses is there. Oh, well, how? Yeah, the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is the only way. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Do you have the difference in your life? Are you saved? Have you trusted Jesus? Are you playing church? Are you just kind of religious? Are you just trying to do good? No, the question, are you saved? Have you ever been born again? How many would say, preacher, I am not sure that I'm going to heaven. If I died right now, I really don't know if I'm saved. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. Just slip it up. Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. Anyone at all, pray for me. Pray for me. Be honest. I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't come and get you. But I'd like to pray for you. You'd say, I'm concerned. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Someone else, you'd say, please pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. I'm not sure. Someone else, pray for me. Please pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. How many Christians today would say, preacher, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. But God has spoken to my heart about something today. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. Slip it up all over. Thank you so much, Father, for speaking to our hearts. I do pray for this one that they will come and be saved today, that they'll not put it off, they'll not wait. They recognize, they realize their need to be saved. Please, God, save them today. And I do pray for Christians all over this room that, God, you would work in our hearts and help us to know that you are always the difference between our joy and our sorrow, between our laughter and our weeping. You can be the difference maker in our lives. Help us, Lord, to recognize that today. And bless the invitation. And if there are others that are lost, convict them, Lord, and help them to get saved. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.